Thank you for listening to this message from Northwest Hills Community Church in Corvallis, Oregon. You can learn more about our church at nwhills.com. Today, lead pastor Josh Karstensen starts a new vision series for our ministry year called Something to Say. The Bible reveals two truths. One, we are more awful than we can possibly imagine. But two, we are also more loved by God than we could possibly imagine. The world already knows that first truth, but people also need to know that they're loved. And our lives as Christians have something to say about following Jesus. What's your story? Also, as part of the Something to Say series, we'll start each message with someone's testimony. We hope you find it encouraging. Now, here's today's message.
My name is Quentin Arthur Hawes. And as a kid, I was so embarrassed to talk to anybody about anything, especially that name. Nobody'd ever heard of it. I'd say, Quentin, what? Quentin, what? And long about high school, I figured out, I go by my middle name, Art, because I can say Art and they hear it, they understand it. I love to share my faith on it, whether it's on an airplane, people I know or don't know. I mean, if they're telling me to shut up and turn away, well, I probably would stop, but I would love to tell them. Well, I would do it even when they didn't want me to necessarily, but sure. I'm not afraid to talk. I love to talk about it. And it amazes me because I was so utterly bashful that I couldn't even tell people my name or my age or whatever. But I just thank the Lord that He helped me stop being bashful and allowed me to, well, I've been to seminary and 12 years of university and all kinds of stuff. So. And then eventually I wound up talking way more and more, became a missionary for 20 years in South America, Peru, then Paraguay, then Colombia, then Paraguay again. I taught at St. Anne Christian School for 23 years, and I loved that. I used to be dean of men down at L.A. Baptist College, where I knew John MacArthur, and I used to play soccer together. And so I don't know if he would still know me or anything like that. I am amazed at what the Lord has done in my life when I was so utterly bashful and stuff. If I were that way nowadays, I would be in a special home, I'm sure. And I'm not kidding. And the fact that I was like that now, well, you know, I never stop talking. Even in my house alone, sometimes I'm talking, sharing some thoughts or singing or whatever. And I think, Lord, thank you for changing my life and letting me be a missionary, a pastor, and teacher at I taught at Santa Ana for 23 years. I can hardly believe it. That's what he did for my life, you know?
That's awesome. Yeah. And if you haven't gotten the chance to meet Quentin, he is a talker and a guy who loves the Lord. He comes to church every single day. I'm not joking. Every day he's here talking to us. So get to know him. Like Carissa said, every week we're going to hear a different story from someone. But as we get going, good morning. Welcome. My name is Josh Karstensen. I'm the lead pastor here. If you have a Bible, go ahead and turn to Colossians 4. It will take a while to get there, I promise you, but we will eventually get there. As you're turning there, though, we have some celebrating to do because I don't want to just kind of say, oh, last year happened and just move on, because something significant happened this last week for many people in this church. Man, 1,189 chapters of the Bible read this last year for a lot of people here. 31,189, I think. Nope, 31,102 verses read. If you read every day except for Sundays, on average, that's 99.3 verses a day that you read last year. And so, man, for all of those people here who made an effort to read this last year, man, give yourselves a huge hand. Man, you did it. That was the lamest applause for just reading the entire Bible. Come on. Yes, you finished. That's awesome. That may be the applause of many guilty who did not finish, but this is a place of grace. But I want to start with a quick letter from a friend who did finish this last year, and he had this to say about his experience. And if everything I just said doesn't make sense, all last year we read the entire Bible, one book a week. So here's someone's story about what that was like. The first time I remember I tried to read the Bible through from start to finish in one year, our pastor said the new slogan for this year's Bible reading plan is read it through in 62, 1962 that is. I was just a kid and I didn't make it very far before giving up. Over the many years, I've had various attempts to try to read the Bible through in a year using different plans our various pastors came up with, getting varied results, but each time ultimately failing to make it through in a year, many times not even coming close. Fast forward 60 years to September 2022, and Pastor Josh told us we're going to read through the Bible in one year. My first thought was, oh no, not again. Been there, tried that, failed. I will never be able to do that. Failed before, will probably get off track and fail again. But then I thought, hey, I'm retired now. Maybe I can do it. So I talked to my wife and I said, with God's help, I'm going to go for it. This is it. I started on my path to read it through in 22 and 23. With God's help, I finally stayed on track the entire year. And I read every single book, every chapter, every verse, and every word in God's holy scriptures. I was very blessed that God helped me to make it through his word these past 12 months, and I learned a ton by reading it. My Bible now has hundreds of underlined verses and passages and many new notes. It was a milestone that I was thankful to be able to accomplish, and it helped me grow spiritually more than ever before this last year. I am thankful to my wife, to my community group, and to our pastors for challenging me all year, for their encouragement to finish. And I did, 4 days early. Your friend, Paul Ewis. Man. Well done. Right, I asked Paul to share that because every week Paul would come in and, I can't believe it, Josh, I'm still going. Keep praying for me, I'm going strong. And every week, my heart was just like, yes, you got this. Keep going. And man, it was a good year. For those of you who didn't read the whole thing, I just want to give you total permission to say that's okay. Right? That's okay. My heart and my hope is that you are here, that you heard pieces of God's word, that you got a little bit of the story. And maybe you're new and you just got here 3 weeks ago and you just got the very end, and that's okay. What we're trying to do is not trying to just check off boxes here, but we're trying to say, I'm trying to move forward, right? And we're all in different places. And so for some, man, it's another year of reading it all the way through. And for some, it's the first year of realizing a little bit more about the Bible. And we did it all not to get through a book. Right, that wasn't the purpose, that wasn't the point. We didn't read every single book last year just to be able to read a book. We did it to try to make sense of who we are and what's going on. Right? We talked about this whole theme last year of what's going on, and it's a question that we asked over and over and over, what is going on? And it's a question that we easily find ourselves asking when we look around the world, right? What is going on? Right, we started and we were talking about what is going on with war, right? We see images and videos and we hear stories and it's incredibly troubling, right? What is going on with that? Right? What is going on with economics and what's going on with politics and what's going on with kind of the lack of normal moral values that we would say? Right? What's going on with that? Right? What's going on with kind of what we call the rise of radical individualism, where most people are far less willing to sacrifice for the greater good than they are to kind of pursue their own individual gain? Right? What's going on with that? Why are we where we are? And guess what? That list is nothing new. Right? I actually, everything that I just said, I did not make up. That's not from me looking around today. That list verbatim is from an article from the History Channel about the fall of Rome 1,500 years ago, right? What's going on with war? What's going on with economic instability, financial corruption, political turmoil, loss of traditional moral values, the rise of radical individualism, right? This is not something that just is 2023, wow, school is hard this year. Guess what? It's been hard for a long time, Right? There's nothing new under the sun, our friend Solomon says, right? And so we look back on the whole of the stories that we read this last year, and we think, you know what? Like, life's been hard for a while. Like, you think you got family drama? I promise you, you are not alone, right? Because think about the very first family. Let's go all the way back for just a minute, right? First family, right? You got a nice husband and wife. They got two boys, right? One of the boys kills the other boy. You want to talk about hardship in a family? Like, what were the conversations of mom and dad in bed that night? You're like, wait a second, how could Cain, wait, my son Abel is gone? Like, man, like, we played baseball together. Baseball, not enough people. We played cornhole together growing up. You're like, how? Right? Like, that's real pain as a parent. And not only do you lose your one son, but then your other son is banished, so you lost him also, right? And then you think about some of the other stories that unfolded. You think about what happened in Noah and kind of just not only the absolute heinous loss of everyone that you knew who wasn't part of your immediate family, which is a tremendous weight, but then the breakdown of your own immediate family at the end of the story, right? You think about just the dynamics of what was going on with Noah and his daughter-in-laws, and just like that brokenness there is tremendous. Like, that's not an easy story to swallow. Like, that family drama is real for a long time. Or think about the pain of what it would have been like to be one of the Hebrews who, when Pharaoh says all the baby boys are going to die, man, what's that like? Like, what's trying to go to bed that night like when your son's taken away from you, your four-year-old? Right, or when you're putting your baby in a basket and you're like, God, I don't know what's going to happen to this kid. They're completely out of my hands. Right, so your prayers for your kids going off to college, or your prayers when your kid's getting newly engaged and you're like, okay, you're on your own. Like, that, those prayers have been going on for a very long time. Right, family hardship is nothing new. This whole what is going on is nothing new. You think about King David, and we're going to do a deep dive into King David's life starting in October 22nd. We're going to take him all the way through Christmas. But you think about David, and you think about kind of the turmoil and the hardship that happens in David's life. By the time David has his little rendezvous with Bathsheba, he already has six wives. Right? If you don't think there's hardship in that family, you're not paying attention. You're just quickly reading to get through to the next day. Right? Like, that's some real family hardship. What is going on? Man, additionally, no matter how much we have tried to progress as a people, and we have tried for a long time, right? The stories that we get in the Bible, the thousands of years of history, man, there's some bright spots for sure, but there's an absolute lot of failure. And in the midst of all these questions, it can be really paralyzing. It can be paralyzing to wonder, like, how do I move on? How do I go on? When I look around and I have all these what's going on questions, how do I move forward? Like, if my family's broken, if my career's broken, if when I look in that mirror, and every time I look in that mirror, my first question is, what is going on? Why am I broken? Like, that's a hard spot to be in. And so we went through the entire Bible last year really with one hope, and that hope is we want to know who God is, because God has something to say about what's going on. Right? And he has something to say about how to go on. Right? God has told us through his story exactly what's going on, which is why when we start in the very beginning of Genesis, we get a framework for how we are to understand the world. And if we don't have Genesis, we don't have an understanding of how you and I live. Right? Because think about what happens in Genesis. You go all the way back to the beginning. In Genesis, God creates, and he creates, and it's good. And we realize very quickly that something is wrong, though. Right, when Adam and Eve sin and they fall and they sin in their own ways, some by omission, some by commission, right? Some of us, we talked about at the men's retreat on Friday night, and man, the sin is real, and we learn that we are a broken humanity, that all of us are, right? That there is something fundamentally wrong with humankind. Man, and we learn that really early on, and we learn that we try to fix ourselves. And really, you look at the whole story of the Old Testament, and it's a long story. It's a few thousand years worth of history where God's primarily working through one people group, but he's preparing this people group for one thing, and that's a fix for our brokenness. Because the thing is, we've been looking for a fix for a long time. Right? The fact of the matter is, we're still looking for a fix. We look for this fix through education. We look through this through a fix through, you know, inspiration. You know, we want to just know what's right, and we want to do it. And we see this everywhere, right? I think about some of the slogans that I see all over the place, and the fact of the matter is, you see them everywhere. You see them at Old Navy, right? They're all over kids' T-shirts. Right? You think about all the slogans of how we're gonna win and how we're gonna be a good people. Right, I think about my kids and the shirts that they wear, and I wrote some of the things down. These are all Old Navy slogans. Open heart, open mind. Right? Love, team spirit, kindness club, being kind is cool. Like, all great messages. We're going to fix this. But the problem is, I've seen my daughters wail on their sisters while wearing a kindness club shirt. Right? Like, let's be honest. Right? And let's be honest, for you and I, like, even though we know what we ought to do, if you're like me, here's what happened to me last week. I went for an evening where I was angsty and harsh with my wife. Newsflash, it's regular, right? But here's the thing, like, as I'm being cruel, I know it. Right? I know it. Like, and in my head, I'm going like, you shouldn't be doing this right now while my mouth is doing something else. Right? Anyone else in here? You're looking shocked. Thank you. We got some honest people, right? And so this story of humanity is just that. Like, I know what I'm supposed to do. Like, I know I'm not supposed to be harsh with my wife. I know I'm not supposed to be, like, mean to my kids or whatever, like, loving towards my neighbor and kind to my friends. Like, I know that. But have a hard time doing it. And so what do we do with that? We try to progress and we try to be good, but man, the story of the whole Old Testament, right? 39 books is we try and we try and we try and we fail. And we try and then we fail and then eventually we stop trying, right? That's the story. And so for a few thousand years, God is showing us one thing. I think the whole Old Testament boils down to this. God took thousands of years to show us that we could not do it on our own, right? We couldn't, right? And so no matter how hard we try, and we will keep trying as a culture, right? We will keep printing T-shirts and slogans, and we will keep trying. Man, the fact of the matter is we will not be able to do what even we want to do, right? And so something outside of us had to come and fix us, right? And that promise was made early on in Genesis 3. We call it the pro-evangelion, the first announcement of the gospel, where God says, I'm going to do something about this. I'm going to fix what's broken. And then we turn that page to the New Testament. We turn that page to the gospel meaning good news, the good news that someone came who's not you and I, who doesn't just know that they ought to live a certain way, but that lives that way perfectly and dies in our place, paying for how we should have lived in our rebellion against God, right? And so we get this whole new story in the New Testament, this whole new story of absolute, radical, unbelievable love for people, right? And so we look at the whole Old Testament and in the whole Bible, and when Jesus comes and he gives us his life, and we think about two massive themes that whether or not we talked about them last year, they were laced throughout it all, and I want to summarize those two themes here in just a minute. The first theme, and I've been talking about this, is that you and I are more awful than we ever could imagine, right? And that has become blatantly clear through thousands of years of history that we read in the Bible, right? We are a cruel people, right? And by we, I mean collectively we, right? I mean seniors, I mean boomers, I mean Gen Xers, I mean millennials, I mean Gen Z, I mean the littlest of littles. They're the meanest, actually. Like the two-year-olds, they will hit and scratch, and they are okay with it, and that's really cruel, right? But you think about what we read, right? What did we read? We hurt each other. We're selfish. We're cruel. We take what is not ours. We take people's land. We take people's children. We take people's spouses. We take people's dignity. Right, we abuse one another, we worship what we shouldn't, we killed Jesus. Right, ultimately, we are awful. And you think about that truth, and no one wants to say it, and we don't want to, you know, we like to think that we're pretty good. But if there is a story that the Bible is telling, half of it is that humankind is awful. We are far more awful than we can imagine. And the truth of the matter is, that's you and I, that's every single one of us. So as we're here today, I just want you to think through, man, That's me. Like, I am far more awful than I could imagine. Right, but then while we are far more awful than we could possibly imagine, there's another truth, and it's almost a paradox. The other side of that is not only are we far more awful than we ever could imagine, but we are far more loved than we could ever imagine. Right, because when Jesus comes, like, what does he do? He's praying for the people who are killing him. Right, Father, they do not know what they're doing. And when he comes, the perfect God of the universe, born in human form, right, fully God, fully man, dying for you and I, who are far more awful than we could ever imagine, showing that he is far more beyond magnificent than we can imagine, who loves us beyond what we can imagine. And so that's kind of the story of the Bible. It's those two truths in tension with one another, both equally being true, that humankind is far more awful than we could ever imagine. And God's love for us is far greater than we could ever imagine. And so that those two truths we hold, and we think about, okay, what do we do with these two truths? Like, now that we've seen the story of the Bible, what is my responsibility? What is my call? What should I do with it? I have something to do. In fact, I actually have something to say about it. Right, we think about this theme, and we think about Carissa telling us a little bit about, we're talking about testimony, and ultimately, this next year, we are talking about the fact that God's story is not over because his story continues in you and I, and you and I have a story. Every one of us do. We have something to say. If God has shown himself to you, if you have put your faith in him, if you recognize that you are loved far more than you could ever imagine, your life has something to say. All of us have something to say. Men, as we have something to say, we're saying something to the world. And two things are true about the world. The world already knows the first truth. Right, the world already knows that we're awful. And everyone knows that. And not everyone would believe that they individually are awful, but most people would be able to point out to the world and say, yes, that's awful out there. But what the world does not know is that they are loved. Right? The world needs to hear that. The world needs to hear, yes, we are far more awful than we could ever imagine, but the world also needs to hear, you are far more loved than you ever thought. Right? And so when we have something to say, ultimately, it's going to be rooted in that. That you are far more loved than you could ever imagine. As we're going to look at those two truths, we're going to do it through the lens of Colossians chapter 4. I asked you to turn there earlier. I'm just going to ask you, if you are able-bodied, would you stand with me as we open up Colossians chapter 4, as we kind of kick off a theme and kind of get a heart for what it looks like for a God who loves us like this. After I'm done reading this, I'm going to say, this is the word of the Lord, really just to say thank you, God, for giving us something to stand on. And when I'm done, you're going to say, thanks be to God. Here we go. This is Colossians 4. The verses will be up there. If you got a Bible, I would encourage you, follow along in your Bible. We read here from the English Standard Version, the ESV. Here we go. Continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. At the same time, pray also for us that God may open to us a door for the word to declare the mystery of Christ, on account of which I am in prison, that I may make it clear, which is how I ought to speak. Walk in wisdom towards outsiders, making the best use of the time. Let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer each person. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Thank you. You can grab a seat. As we're looking at this, I want to make three real quick observations about this unimaginable love that God has for us. And that is the mystery of Christ, the dependency on Christ, and the display of Christ. And we're going to start with the mystery of Christ. And he says this in verse 3, at the same time, pray also for us that God may open to us a door for the word to declare the mystery of Christ. I think it's interesting, and I love how the Bible is so honest. He talks about Christ being a mystery. Here's Paul. He's writing to a church in Colossae. He is in prison because of this, and he's saying, hey, would you pray for me that I would have an opportunity to share the mystery of Christ to people who Christ, quite frankly, is really mysterious. Right? And you think about the world that we live in. And you think about some of the stumbling blocks that people have of not knowing who the real Jesus is. Jesus is quite mysterious, let's be honest. Right? It's hard to wrap your brain around. It's hard to wrap your mind around. right? It's challenging, like the idea of the Trinity, like that's hard to wrap your mind around. There's some mystery in that, right? There's some mystery in the fact that Jesus is fully God and fully man, right? Almost greater mystery is the fact that I am far more awful than I ever could imagine, and yet I'm also far more loved than I could ever imagine, right? There's mystery in that. And so as we think about our stories and we think about the fact that we have something to say, he starts out with the truth that it is a mystery. Right? That God's love for us is mysterious. It's mysterious that God would love us, and it's mysterious that God exists, because here the fact of the matter is a lot of the world not only doesn't believe it, but they have their hard time wrapping their mind around it, even if they want to believe that it's true. Right? So as we're thinking about this year, as we're thinking about what it looks like to share our stories, that we would have something to say, I want us to think about how we are making this mystery known to people. Right? How can I communicate this mystery? You know, and what does it look like to unpack this mystery for someone? You know, and we all have different barriers of what it's going to be like to understand this mystery. And so I think one of the things that we ought to start with when we're sharing our stories is, you know, this simple phrase, and we've talked about it here before, but what is good news to the person that I'm sharing? Right? How can I bring good news to them? And we all need, in some way or another, like some of it, we just need different forms of good news to help understand the mystery that is God's love for us. Right, because we're all very different in here. You know, some of us come in here this morning and we feel super known. We've been here for a long time, you know, and we don't need to feel like the mystery of, man, God has a place for you, because you feel like you already have a place. But maybe you need to hear God's got a challenge for you, and God's got something greater for you than what you're doing right now. Right? But maybe you're here today and what you're walking in with is whatever, shame or guilt, and you feel like, I couldn't possibly be loved by this, right? And so maybe the mystery for you is good news that, you know what, no matter your past, no matter what baggage you bring in, right, no matter what failed relationships you've had or what kind of workplace disasters you've been through, like, man, the gospel's for you, right? There's mystery in that, and so we need to be people who are thinking through who we're sharing our story to and what good news do they need to hear. Right, to someone who feels like they don't belong. Like, no, you do belong. Look what Christ says about you. Man, there's so much mystery that we can share, that we can make known to people. Right? What is good news that you need to hear? I'm thinking this morning, like, I would ask yourself, what's the good news that you need to hear? Right? We all come in here wanting to hear something good, because if it's ultimately good, it's from God. Right? And if it's from God, it's got the gospel in it. What good news do you need to hear this morning? Do you need to hear that you can belong? Do you need to hear that you're good enough? Do you need to hear that whatever reputation you may have or you may think you have, that doesn't matter, you stand before God. He loves you more than you could ever imagine. Right? We all needed to hear something this morning. I hope you hear the thing that you are longing to hear, that God's love for you is far greater than you could ever imagine. And that is a mystery. Paul makes that quite clear. Additionally, let's think about the dependency on Christ. In verse 2, he starts with the most crucial of all things, and he says, continue steadfastly in prayer. We are not going to be able to share our stories. We will not have something to share unless God opens a door. Right? He goes on and he says, at the same time, pray also for us. He's asking the church here, hey, pray for me. He's currently in prison. Pray that God would open up a door and give me an opportunity to share. Because guess what? If we're trying to share our faith on our own, it's going nowhere. We can't do it. I think about the analogy that just came to my head, and it's kind of a silly analogy, but I think that it works, is the analogy of wakeboarding. And I love wakeboarding. I love water sports. And you need two things, right? You need to be in the water with a wakeboard, but you also need a boat, right? And if you don't have a boat, wakeboarding's miserable. In fact, it's dangerous, right? Because you're in the water and you're strapped into a silly board and you can't go anywhere and it's really hard to swim, right? And that's you and I sharing our stories, right? On our own, that's us. We're like awkwardly trying to swim with a stupid board attached to us. We need something to pull us. We need something to make the wake. We need something with all the power that you and I don't have. And that's the dependency on God through prayer to say, God, do what I can't, because I cannot wakeboard without a boat any more than I can share my faith and ask someone to be saved without you doing a work in their heart. I can't do it. Right? We just can't. That's just not who we are. Like, we can share stories, but if God's not opening up hearts, we're just going to hit against dead stone. And so, like, our hope is to have the urgent dependency through prayer. Right? We're going to talk a bit about prayer this year. We're going to spend 5 weeks in January doing a deep dive into prayer, really having this dependency on God. Right? God, like, do something. Do something. My story by itself, it's going to do nothing. God, and we have to have that urgency. I remember one time I took a group of kids wakeboarding, and we were going out towards Lake Havasu. We're on the Colorado River, and it's a river, and it's moving fast, and we were wakeboarding the first day, and it was awesome, and the second day our boat broke down, right? And you're in a river, and the river's moving. It's moving pretty good if you've ever been on the Colorado, and a lot of the shores is kind of man-made like rock, and so you don't want the boat hitting the shore, and I'm stuck, and you want to talk about urgency, like, we need this boat to work or we're going to be in some serious trouble, right? Having that same urgency of, God, you have to do something. You think about this next year and all the things that we're excited about as a church, right? If God's not going to go before us and do something, it's all for nothing. We got to be a people who depend on Christ. Lastly, the display of Christ. Let's go verse 5. Walk in wisdom towards outsiders, making the best use of the time. Let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer each person. Many, you think about this, and would you go to our main slide real quick? That silly little cartoon guy, I'm told that it's cool right now, and it's popular, apparently, to the young, cool people. It's the silly picture to say, like, that's our life. It's telling a story. Our life is a megaphone, right? It's saying something. When people look at your life tells a story. You think about this kind of this little section here that Paul's talking about. He's talking about how we live, how we behave, like how we treat our friends, right? How we love our children, how we interact with coworkers, how we treat people, whether they're believers or unbelievers, how we govern cities, how we lead, whatever. Like it, our life is a megaphone. Right, and so all year you're going to see this silly little cartoon everywhere. You probably saw it in front. We have a big mural of that, and there's a couple different little cartoon figures. And I want you to see that picture. And every time you see that picture, I want you to think, that's my life, and it's telling a story. My life is telling a story. What is the story that it's telling? And ultimately, here's my hope, that when people see our lives and they hear our stories, because they're saying something, our lives are saying something, right? That what it's saying is compelling people to want to follow Jesus. Right? Because here's the truth. If people really understand who the real Jesus is, they want him to be true, whether they believe he's true or not. Right? Isn't that interesting? You ever thought about this? You ever think about, like, if you really kind of strip it all down and you really look at Jesus' life and you say, man, there's a God who loves me unconditionally. There's a God who paid for my sin. There's a God who calls me to a better life. There's a God who's got a future for me. Everyone wants to believe that. Right? Deep down, everyone wants to believe that. But we have a barrier that we just don't believe it's true. Right? But when people look at our lives, my hope is that people will want what we are selling, right? And that happens in the good times and the bad times, right? It happens when we live with a lot of joy, right? And a lot of satisfaction, and man, we praise God for that, but it also happens in the hard times, right? Because in the hard times, when you lose a kid, right? Or you lose a job, or you lose a friend, right? And people are watching our reactions, and they say, oh man, you got hope beyond just the present. Like, that sells, right? We want that to sell. Like, our life should be telling a story. And ultimately, the story it should be telling is, man, I want what you have. And our story is able to say, like, oh, and you can have what I have, because guess what? You're loved more than you ever thought possible. Man, so this year, as we start this whole new ministry year, our theme is something to say. We all have something to say. We're going to spend a few weeks talking about vision and mission over the next 5 weeks. What does it look like to be a part of Northwest Hills, right? What is our vision? What is our mission? through all of it. We're going to talk about something to say. Starting October, we're going to be doing a deep dive into the life of David. Right? After we do David, we're going to talk about prayer in January. Then we'll spend 9 weeks looking at four different women in the Bible who God said something mighty through them. In the Bible, there are four women who have a song, and we're going to talk about what God did in their life and what they had to say about it. After that, we'll take a deep dive into the life of Peter. We'll look at Peter in the Gospels. We'll look at Peter in 1st and 2nd Peter, and that will take us through summer. All of which, though, all of these things, we're looking at people this year. And as we're looking at the people that God worked through thousands of years ago, we're also going to look around at each other. And every week, we're going to hear a story. Man, look what God did through Terry. Right? Look what God has done through Shania. Look what God's done through Dawn. Look what God's done through all kinds of different people, because his story continues. And our challenge as the year begins is, what is your story and what's God saying? Man, I want you to think about it as we pray. Ben, why don't you come up? I'm going to close this out in prayer. Father God, I thank you that we all have a story. And we have a story because we know two truths. God, for those of us who have put our hope and our faith in you, we know the truth that we are more awful than we could ever imagine. God, and that's a weighty truth, and that's a truth that the world can look at and easily identify. It's a truth that's troubling. It's a truth that's weighty. It's a truth that is pretty depressing at times. It's a truth that a lot of people find themselves wrapped up in and having a hard time getting past. God, it's a truth that's leading to depression, anxiety, fear. God, it's real. We recognize that truth. We recognize that without you, it is a desperate, lonely world. But God, at the same time, let this be a place that proclaims the other side of that coin. And that is, not only are we more awful than we could ever imagine, but God, we are more loved than we ever thought possible. God, in being loved with the love of a father, man, that frees us up to share a story. To share a story to my wife when I'm being cruel, that says, man, I'm wrong and I'm sorry. Thank God that I'm loved. Would you forgive me? And it gives her the freedom to forgive me. And God, would we be a people this year who are bold, who are wise, who are kind, who live our lives in such a way that the story that we share is a compelling story. Kind of that little phrase, seasoned with salt, that people would want it. God, I pray that this gathering would be a place where people would want to be. In order for that to happen, God, we need to be a people who love each other well and be a generous, welcoming, encouraging place. I pray that that's what this would be, a place of healing. But more than anything, God, I'm praying and I'm begging, God, I want this to be a place where we meet with you. God, we want this to be a place where you show up this year. God, where it's not just pithy little sayings about how to have a great Monday through Saturday, God, but this is a place where life actually changes, because from the inside out, you make me something new. Jesus, I thank you that that's been many of our stories. And for those who haven't quite tasted that yet, God, would you do something? We're thanking you ahead of time for what you're going to do this year, Jesus. We love you and we thank you. It's in your precious, beautiful name we pray. Amen. I love you guys.
Thanks for listening to today's teaching from Northwest Hills Community Church. We hope you find ways to apply the gospel to your life. And be sure to check out our website, nwhills.com, where you'll find ways to engage with us. And if you're able, we'd love to see you at church next Sunday. Thanks again for listening.